Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Culture and Climate Exchange podcast. This episode explores the contemporary South African San people's experience with climate change and how it influenced their cultural life and social dynamics. Their story tells a tale of adaptation, resilience, and the intricate dance between human cultures and their environments. My name is Missimi Awalabi, and I am this podcast's host. Imagine standing on the world's edge in the Kalahari Desert amidst the towering dunes and feeling of soft grains of sand slip through your fingers below the crimson and gold horizon. Here, people dwell, whose connection lies deep due to many social and environmental factors. These people are known as the San people or the San Bushmen. The San are renowned for their knowledge of the natural world, complex hunter-gatherer societies, and language. Unfortunately, in recent times, the effects of climate change have begun to reshape their existence, posing challenges to their livelihood and cultural practices. Their experiences include perseverance, innovative responses to environmental challenges, and preservation of traditional knowledge. Due to climate change, the problems introduced by colonialism have been exacerbated. Their culture has been altered, and their gender and occupational dynamics have shifted. Therefore, they respond with adaptation methods. I am thrilled to introduce our guest, a historian from the University of New Mexico, to this episode. He has been working with the San since 1975. He has originally worked with a team to study the San's culture, biology, language, and archaeology. He has been returning to the Kalahari to work with the San for almost 50 years. Please welcome Professor Hitchcock. Hello, Professor Hitchcock. I welcome as a guest on the Culture and Climate Exchange. I emailed Professor Hitchcock after reading his papers, which include Climate Change, Resilient Livelihoods, and Adaptation Strategies among the Juhansi San of Nainai, Nambia, and the Plight of the Kalahari San. He has physically seen how climate change has impacted settlement patterns and livelihoods, and how people have transitioned from sedentary lifestyles and diversified their sources of livelihood. So this podcast will first focus on the San's historical context and the change he observed. We will then examine the effects of Western colonialism and dive into how gender dynamics have been altered or affected, as well as occupational dynamics. We will then look at how the Kalahari San's people's identity has evolved due to climate change regarding culture, gender, occupation, and class. Then we will discuss how the San people perceive climate change, and lastly, their efforts to adapt to this changing environment. Professor Hitchcock will periodically give his insights on the subject as we go along. Professor Hitchcock will first explain what he has seen in the last 50 years as an anthropologist.
Both climate change as well as change in their cultures. The biggest change, I think, for many San has been settling down. They've become sedentary. That's what I wrote my dissertation about. And they have diversified their livelihoods. They've gotten more involved, say, in agriculture and livestock production. And the responses to climate change have been interesting. Some of them have to do with changing the kinds of plants they utilize, diversifying their numbers and types of plants. In some cases, they've had to abandon areas because of long-term drought and other climate changes, and they don't have any access to water. They've started using more specific kinds of resources for moisture, such as melons. We're talking about 130,000 people in eight countries in Southern Africa, so there's a lot of variability in the kinds of responses they have to climate change.
Thank you, Professor Hitchcock, for those insights. As you can see, imagine stepping into the world of the San people. They were connected to their lands by embracing livelihoods like agriculture and livestock production. However, the specter of drought continues to loom, forcing them to change their way of life. However, this is not solely due to climate change, but heavily to Western colonialism. This arguably, though, has worsened climate change's impact on these cultures. As we examine the cultural, historical context of the San people's experiences, it becomes evident that this environmental change impact is deeply intertwined with socio-political forces that have shaped their lives. With this encroachment on their lands and resources, Western colonialism has left a lasting imprint on the San community, exacerbating the challenges posed by climate change.
Well, the biggest impact of Western colonialism has been the reduction in the land available for the San people. In Namibia, for example, the San used to occupy the entire country, and now they occupy a much smaller portion of the country. Much of the land was given to German colonial farmers and later Afrikaners from South Africa. In Botswana, much of the land was given to Tswana, and before that to the British and to Afrikaners who occupied the western part of the country in freehold farms. So I think the biggest change with colonialism has been the dispossession of the San.
Close your eyes and imagine the vast expanse of the Kalahari Desert, once the ancestral homeland for the San people, now encroached on by foreign settlers. The loss of land and territory has disrupted their traditional ways of life and intensified the impacts of environmental degradation. These land losses restricted the San people's access to natural resources essential for their livelihoods, such as water sources, grazing land for livestock, and area gathering for wild plants. These limitations made it more challenging to cope with the impacts of climate change, such as droughts and shifts in plant and animal distributions. These possessions of land also led to forced settlement of the San people into fixed locations, disrupting their nomadic lifestyle. This made them more vulnerable to extreme weather events and environmental hazards that could no longer move freely in search of resources or avoid areas affected by climate-related disasters. San people were also affected by climate change in their daily lives, including their nutritional situation. Professor Hitchcock will provide more information.
A number of effects. For one, it's reduced their livelihoods and their nutrition. I think that nutrition of San people in many cases is worse off now than it was 10 years ago, and part of that is because of climate change. The governments have tried to offset the problems of nutritional difficulties by providing some food and other resources, cash, so that they can buy food. But the food that they provide, similar to the United States with Native Americans in the 19th century, is that it's mostly maize meal, not very diversified. They might get a little tin of fish some milk powder, and that's problematic in terms of the diet. So I would say that the government efforts, which are modeled on those of the United States for indigenous people, have not been as effective as they could be at averting the problems of climate change.
It's genuinely concerning to hear about the impacts of climate change on the San people's nutrition and how it worsened in the past decade. Although the government has tried to alleviate these difficulties, it tends to fall short of addressing the root causes. It's imperative that more effective strategies need to be implemented to address these climate-related issues. What other effects of climate change occur on the San people? More specifically, their culture.
The things is that they in the past, because they had access to wide areas, they could move to places. They can't do that anymore because most of the land is taken up by other groups. That's a huge issue, and has changed their culture. You see some decline in cultural traditions. Perhaps there are fewer healing dances today than there used to be in the past. Some of that is due to the deaths of major healers. And some of that came about over the years. The younger people were not being trained in healing dances in the lab. Dances were for dealing with the sick. Indirectly, I guess you could say that the number of people sick can be related to climate change. It's a difficult connection there. Certainly, climate change has made things worse for people in terms of their nutrition. That means that there are more efforts to try and heal people. But overall, I would say that climate change has affected the some of the traditions, and in particular, the healing traditions.
It's disheartening to hear about the decline in cultural traditions, such as healing dances. This is indicative of the broader erosion of cultural identity and knowledge systems. It shows not only the immediate impact of land loss, but also the intergenerational transmission of cultural practices. This decline reminds us of the social, cultural, environmental factors in transforming Sami people's culture. This topic, in fact, reminds me of an article written in 2004. The article is called "Culture Under Threat: Special Report on the Sami Bushmen. Sami people feel they are losing their culture." In the article, Soba Sagara represents his Sami community. Despite some efforts to mitigate these problems they face, like poor health, lack of education, and difficulties with this language in schools, climate change could exacerbate these existing struggles by affecting land availability and agricultural productivity. Could you, Professor Hitchcock, share insights on this? To what extent are the Sami people's culture changing due to climate change?
Interesting that climate change has had an effect. Certainly, the some Sami have gone to the climate change meetings, for example, the one that they had in the Middle East in November. They've attended those meetings, and this has given some recognition to Sami. I would say the major things that are affecting Sami cultural identity aren't so much climate change as their activism to try and get the governments to treat them fairly and to give them compensation for the land that they lost, or give them land itself. And so climate change has made things more complicated, but has sometimes provided opportunities for Sami spokespersons to take part in meetings, and that may have an effect on Sami cultural identity.
It's honestly commendable that the Sami people have been participating in these climate change meetings. Climate change clearly poses challenges to the Sami people's cultural identity, such as loss of land and resources. But it's essential to realize that the core issues for many indigenous communities do center around the government treating and the compensation for this history. This is an example of how indigenous communities have advocated for their rights to their land, resources, and self-determination throughout history. This might likely be due to how they have been faced displacement, exploitation, and marginalization as their lands have been colonized, exploited for resources, or altered by environmental degradation. Despite these challenges, indigenous people like the Sami strive to protect these rights and ancestral territories. The advocacy often involves legal battles, grassroots movements, and international attention efforts. From what I've read, women in particular often bear the impacts of environmental degradation and climate change. I specifically read a book titled "Gender and Climate Change: South Africa Case Study," which gives crucial perspective on the gendered impacts of climate change. Its central argument is that climate change is not gender neutral. This source spotlights impacts with examples such as women's limited access to natural, financial, and social and human resources. The book also discusses the differences in societal roles men and women have, demonstrating that women make up over 70% of the workforce population in the area. This finding shows that the consequences will in turn affect women's ability to provide for their family due to shifts in agricultural practices caused by environmental change. Could you please share your personal thoughts on this topic, Professor Hitchcock? How have these gender dynamics have been affected by climate change? How has climate change influenced the way people perceive their gender identity?
It's a good question. I would say one of the things that Patricia Draper, who's a major San scholar, says about San is that they're the most gender equitable society on the planet. At least they were in the 1960s and 70s. Now that's changed. Men are more dominant politically and in day-to-day activities. Although, interestingly enough, it's important to say that San women really are have provided the bulk of the subsistence, particularly plant foods. And they're the ones who are doing most of the experiments on looking for new kinds of plant foods to utilize. And also they're the ones who are more involved in agriculture, particularly in planting new kinds of crops that have been introduced. For example, sweet potato, which had a big effect, at least among the Xinhua, the sweet potato coming originally from Papua New Guinea. But I would say that the gender dynamics are such that women play a very important role, but politically they're not as significant or socially as they were in the past. The result of climate change would be indirectly related, but I'd say that it's more a result of things like government policies and some of the activism within the San communities. You don't see very many women, San women leaders, for example. They play a huge role in behind-the-scenes decision-making, but you don't see very many San chiefs or female.
Would it make a difference if there were more women leaders?
Yeah, I think it would make a big difference. And I think there are efforts to promote that, both by San women themselves, even as well as by organizations, Red Cross and Red Crescent, UNICEF, the European Union, and others that are trying to promote women's empowerment.
Do you know any ways that climate change is affecting women's lives? Do you think these issues are due to them being women?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that the biggest impact of climate change is more on women than men. If you think that women are the ones who do most of the gathering and much of the agriculture, and the men, while they did do some hunting, they do very little hunting these days. So the women are providing the bulk of the livelihoods, and that automatically means that climate change affects them. It affects everybody, but particularly it affects women and children. And women are the ones who do most of the experimentation. For example, they try new foods, new plant foods, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, climate change is having an effect on gender and on the roles of both women and men.
Gender is only one significant social dynamic affected by climate change's impact, but occupational dynamics have also been altered due to climate change. I read an article titled Climate Change in South Africa, 21 Stunning Facts About South Africa's Climate Breakdown. This was by the nonprofit Greenpeace, which discusses the hardships of climate change. One particular fact that struck me in the article, it mentions the vulnerability of specific occupational groups in South Africa and how this affects their economic well-being. For instance, it used examples of how reduced productivity, earnings, and health issues caused by climate change, especially intense heat, all factor into problems within the workforce. Can you add to this? How have occupational dynamics been affected by climate change in Southern Africa? How has climate change influenced the way people perceive their occupational identity?
Another good question. Well, let me say first that climate change has had an effect on disease rate, and that's had an effect on some people. It's hard to say whether the COVID, for example, which hasn't had a very big impact on San people, was due in part to climate change. It's certainly due, there's certainly a relationship between the same climate change and disease. And to me, the ways in which this has worked out, it's hard to identify specifically that the cultural identity issues. I think, if anything, the cultural identity issues are becoming more pronounced in Southern Africa. Whether that's due to climate change, I don't think it is just climate change that's a factor, but also, for example, the ways in which the government's dealt with COVID is that they didn't go out and provide masks and other kinds of vaccinations and food commodities to help replace the losses that COVID brought about. And tourism is another factor that figures in here. Certainly, climate change has affected tourism. So did COVID substantially. And tourism has had the impact of kind of promoting cultural identity and cultural heritage. People are proud of their identity and they want to show it to tourists. But the numbers of tourists dropped off substantially beginning in 2020 and is only now rebounding.
Would you say the tourist industry, due to climate change, is getting lower or increasing?
I think that tourism numbers dropped off certainly in the last several years, and climate change may have been a part of that. I mean, one thing climate change has done is it made it easier to travel around in the Kalahari, partly because there's less rain and less mud, making it difficult for tourists to travel. But overall, I would say that the big changes that climate change have brought have more to do, I think, with the livelihoods and nutrition of San people.
Another thing I think of while considering the San people and how climate change shifts their occupational dynamics is the South African Medical Journal's article, "Climate Change and Occupational Health, A South Africa Perspective." If you can't tell by the title, this discusses more specific examples of people in the workplace with chemicals present, agricultural workplaces, and miners. Most of the concentrate of the effects of heat and global warming, it is clear how their traditional occupations and way of life are deeply intertwined with their environment, as climate change alters their ecosystems and weather patterns. I found this article very insightful. It is a contribution to considering how these perspectives and examples when addressing climate change multifaceted issues. This article briefly touches upon the mining industry, and I find that very intriguing because mining often involves hazardous conditions, and the risks become even more apparent when climate change worsens. For instance, extreme weather. Can you speak more on these challenges that affect the San miners?
One thing that has happened is the mining industry, if anything, in both Namibia and Botswana, and Zimbabwe for that matter, has expanded. Some of that is the role of companies, Chinese companies, Canadian companies, Australian companies, which are expanding their operations. And that's had a very tough effect. For example, Recon Africa, which is a Canadian company, is operating in Namibia and Botswana. They're using fracking to be able to access the water that's used in making their oil and gas wells. And that has had a very substantial effect on the dropping of the water table. People have less access to water, and they're very angry about it. And that has generated a lot of environmental activism, environmental justice movements. So the mining industry, if anything, is expanding, and that has caused a lot of repercussions for people, and people being resettled, people being it's given some employment, admittedly, to some people, but most of the mining companies prefer not to employ San, which is another story.
Interesting to note how the mining industry has expanded in countries like Namibia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, and how these countries have significantly impacted local communities and the environment. These instances of fracking techniques for oil and gas spark controversy, environmental justice, and activism. Given what you have informed me and your experience and research, how do you think the San people perceive climate change?
Well, I think they see climate change. They certainly remark about it, that they discuss it a lot. They talk about how in the old days there used to be a lot of rain. Plant growth was substantial. There were a lot of wild animals, and that has changed completely. Very similar in many ways to what people say in the United States about during the 19th century, about what was happening with climate change, and as well, of course, as commercial activities like the exploitation of buffalo. So you do get many people remark about how life is tougher now than it used to be.
It sounds like you are pointing out a parallel between the observations of the San people regarding climate change and the historical accounts of the 19th century United States to shed light on how environmental changes have affected traditional ways of life across the different cultures and periods. What you said about large amounts of rain, plant growth, and wildlife demonstrates the significant shifts experienced by the San people, mirroring how environmental changes impacted the indigenous communities and settlers in America. You also brought attention to the economic and social ramifications of environmental transformations, mentioning the exploitation of the buffalo. So how do San people fight back and organize against climate change?
Trying to participate in, for example, each country has its own climate change agency organization, and San are trying to get representatives onto that. It hasn't been very easy. The governments are not all that willing to include San for, I would say, broadly racist reasons. But San certainly are organizing themselves to try and fight climate change. They're even writing grants to the European Union, to the U.S. Agency for International Development, the World Bank, to get funding for climate change resilience activities. And that's had a very positive effect, I think.
Your perspective really addresses how evident it is that despite their stake in environmental sustainability and resistance, the San often face barriers to inclusion in decision-making processes. Your observation about how the San people in their communities actively organize themselves to address climate change is inspiring and underscores their determination. The San assert their agency to make valuable contributions to global resilience efforts to adapt to this changing climate and attempt to mitigate it. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with me, Professor Hitchcock. Before we end today's episode, please share any recommendations on books or resources to read to learn more about this topic.
And question again, there's a new book that's just come out with an author. The main author is a woman named Preeti, Preeti Godoke, and it's on climate change. It's being introduced at the Society for Applied Anthropology meetings in Santa Fe on the 29th of this month, next month. And that's probably the most recent discussion of climate change. And it's a worldwide survey. It's mostly of indigenous people. I have a chapter in there on Xinhuazi, but there are other chapters that deal with Inuit and others. So I would say that's a good example of a recent publication that is now broadly available that people would find of interest, because it does show the different strategies indigenous people, including San, are using to try and deal with climate change.
Thank you so much again for agreeing to have me interview you, Professor Hitchcock. You have excellent insights on this topic and shared so many exciting ideas.
Very much. I appreciate your interest.
Next episode, we'll explore the impacts of climate change on the Egyptian Nubians. Their story promise to offer another unique perspective on climate change from the other side of the continent. These communities, like the San, also face challenges due to environmental changes. It is needless to say, we should amplify diverse voices in the climate crisis conversation, and I am excited to discuss their experiences and insights. Thank you all for listening.